I didn't check Twitter for about 2 hours tonight, and in the 2 hours that I didn't check Twitter, Saints Twitter has gone crazy again.
Is it over that thing that Wes did?
Did Nader make a shirt?
Yeah, he did, actually.
I've just been catching up on it. I didn't even know what Hinge was until 20 minutes ago.
What is it?
Some kind of dating app, I think.
That girl was on.
Yeah.
Alyssa Guyot or Galat.
Yeah.
Steve and then have Gleason has been faking ALS for the past 11 years.
She's like a nurse for him.
Like, and she's got pictures with herself, like at Disney World with him and at his house. And
it's got to be like an inside joke, or somebody else did something.
Yeah. And Steve seems like the kind of guy who would go along with that. Let me guess. Fake outrage from the Hudak fan club has turned this into a fiasco, and she's now public enemy number one for making fun of
T. Right behind Nader. I don't think it's a joke, because I was talking to somebody who was in New Orleans, and they said they saw Steve today, and he didn't smile at all.
What's up, Hudak Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Hudak Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 0. Because the Saints season has come to an end, and for the first time since 2016, they will not be competing in the NFL playoffs. Some may be blaming the Rams, but in all reality, the only blame can be placed on ourselves for not beating the lowly Giants on October 3rd, or the Titans in November. Could have won just one of those games and we'd be in the playoffs, so don't blame it all on the Rams. There were several winnable losses this season, but the Hudak Nation is very forgiving. Considering all that the team has done to overcome this year, unfortunately, it was just a little too much. Whether it was the lack of wide receiver talent, whether it was Michael Thomas not getting surgery, not being able to return on time, Hurricane Ida, COVID-19 in week 2, then later in the latter part of the year, and then the plethora of injuries to the offensive line, injuries causing our quarterback carousel, losing Kamara for a stretch, or the incompetence of and bias from the referees. Still, we pull off a winning record and be a Rams win away from the playoffs, giving us all hope and the expectation that we'll be right back in it. We'll be in the top echelon of teams next season. This is our Saints season finale, but remember that we publish year-round, which means we'll be back next week to talk playoffs and any early Saints news or rumors. Until then, we'll recap the season. We're going to check on bold predictions that we set and the preseason, and we'll hand out some domies. That's the Dome Patrol Podcast Awards. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Speaking of Domi, you can see it in my background. I'm walking across Borders right towards the dome right now. So I have a 0. I'm just leaving work.
Since you're on location, then Wes, we also have you on location.
I am also at a professional ballpark, the Nationals ballpark. And I'm discreetly sitting across the street from them recording today.
All right. And sorry, I said Wes.
With it at a 0. So I'm working.
It is Wesley. Wesley.
You're not locked out like the rest of the players?
No. No. I'll be running across the field here in a few minutes.
All right, Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am also a 0. Yeah.
What's your drunk scale number?
0. Oh, I got you. You're a funny guy today.
Yeah. All right, and coming all the way from the UK, James, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm going to complete the set. I am also a 0.
Wow, we are a bunch of losers.
Wow. I feel like drinking if I didn't have COVID. All right, let's quickly, we did a little bit of this in the game instant reaction show, but maybe a little bit more of your thoughts on the season recap, how this season went, and what you think it means for the future.
Oh, yeah. Fire stuff. This for New Orleans.
Nation. Who that? Who that? We that? We that? Who that? Who that? We that? We that? Who that? Who that? We that? We that? Saints going all the way. Saints going.
Yeah, actually, looking to what led to the season. I mean, there's the retirement from Drew Brees, all of the cap hell that we got into, which destroyed the depth of the team. And then the injuries that came along, it just wasn't going to work. The good news is this is like the best possible scenario that could have come out of those. When we see what our defense can do together, how well they can play. Like, this is a truly a championship level defense that will be better next year because most of them are coming back. And I mean, I don't want to challenge the football gods, but our offense cannot be in worse shape next year than it was for this year. Whether that's because of we are going to have some ability to work with free agents in the for signing new contracts and then going through the draft, and like we will have a more talented offense next year, and we'll have less injuries, I assume. So it's kind of the for a bad situation and not making the playoffs and all that. It's probably the best we could be. It's definitely coming out of 1 year since Brees retired. We are trajectory is moving up for the team.
I always thought the year after Brees was going to be terrible, and
terrible.
I mean, the good thing is, you know, the team and the fact that their defense was built to withstand losing him. I think plus the fact that he, you know, even though he was still Brees, he couldn't do all the things that he used to do. But I was really encouraged by what Jameis did those few weeks when he was healthy. It's such a shame that he did get hurt, because, you know, there were a lot of questions about him coming in this year. Is he still, everybody's like, oh, he threw 30 picks. Well, what did he do? 14-3 in his games here. So to me, that proves that he could work. He could be a successful quarterback here, and we'll see what his recovery from the injury brings. It sucks that he got hurt, because I think we all were really seeing, holy shit, we actually – you know, aren't going to be stuck in QB hellscape like a lot of other teams who lose Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Now there's still questions with his injury and with now Taysom's Lisfranc injury. So I just think it's going to cost too much to get a free agent. So I'm on board with bringing back Jameis.
You brought up the whole interception thing. Everybody were concerned about his interception count. Yada, yada. It's a terrible talking point because we've been over that. James, yesterday we calculated the track that Jameis was on before he got hurt. Yep. Up until, what was it, week six when he got hurt, he had thrown only three interceptions.
Yep.
And what was his, so that put him on track to have thrown
eight
total interceptions on the year, which was fewer than Tom Brady, who threw 11, if I'm not mistaken, although 12. Like most of them were to the Saints. And then touchdown passes, he had thrown, was it 14?
And 14. And he was projecting 40 if you and carry that on.
Yeah, 14 going on 40. So that would have been a 40 touchdown, 8 interception season. And actually, though, the yardage was on track to be like 2,000 something.
Yeah.
He would have won comeback player of the year if he threw 40 touchdowns and had 8 interceptions.
Yeah. Could he win that next year?
Right. Win that next year.
He did it with no receivers.
Right.
I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility or imagination that had Winston not got hurt, we could be sitting on a 12-win team being very, very dangerous in the playoffs.
Whew.
When we get to the record predictions, that's where I was at.
No, I'm happy.
What, Jace? Sorry, go ahead.
Scott. I'm happy that we finished with a winning season. You know, it sucks and was disappointing that we did miss the playoffs. You know, like Jeff said, you wish you maybe could have that Giants or Titans game back. I blame the Titan game on us because we were all there. This, you know, with everything that y'all have mentioned that we went through, this was by far Sean Payton's best coaching job he's done in his career, to get 9 wins out of.
I mean, I still think 2006 was pretty good.
But I'm just saying, with all the adversity. Yeah, I mean, 2006 was really good. That was what his first year.
But you
year.
Didn't have adversity to face. In 2006 was like you went from the bottom and there was only one way to go. And he
right, but 2006, you had the adversity of coming back off of Katrina, though. Like,
true.
You didn't have maybe as much during the season, but you had all the questions, just the whole offseason. Like, what do we, you know, new people coming in, bringing in half of a new team and still having so many questions about the city itself.
Nobody True. Knowing what Breeze's shoulder was going to do.
Technically, Ida was a worse hurricane than Katrina.
But it is cool how, like, yeah, 2006, it is funny, like, or cool how we get this new coach, new quarterback, new running back, and instant culture, instant success. I mean, complete 180, and we've never looked back since.
Yeah. And, you know, the future does look bright. I guess two things. I hope, one, that Sean Payton realizes that at least his public stance on the wide receiver room being fine was not the case. And two, I worry about possibly losing coaches, specifically defensive coordinator.
So I think his public statement on the stance of the locker room, I think when he said it, he knew he was lying through his teeth, but you cannot say anything otherwise. You can't sit there and going into a season and announce to the world that my wide receivers suck ass and I have no confidence.
It's not just that. It's also that we necessarily didn't go out and try to really bring a lot of people in. Maybe he did, but
we didn't do anything. Maybe he
didn't do anything. Nothing. So he just kept on that line and we didn't bring anybody in.
Take a step back there. So we just said that Jameis Winston was on pace to have 40 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. He played no games with Michael Thomas. And did he play none or one? No, he played none with Traquan Smith either. So he didn't play a single game with he played one with Traquan. So he played with no number one or number two receiver. I mean, in those games and was on pace for 40 touchdowns. Sean Payton didn't know that Michael Thomas was not going to play the entire season. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I agree with you guys. I mean, the state of our wide receivers, it's embarrassing that somebody didn't see it coming and that everybody fell for Marquez Callaway having one and a half good or two half good preseason games. But I don't know. I mean, I can see what's coming from, because you think that if you threw 40 and 8, you throw Michael Thomas and Traquan Smith in there healthy and playing the whole year. I mean, that's got to be better numbers.
Yeah, you would think that those numbers would be higher with those two players playing the whole season. It was, we've had plenty of conversations about the wide receiver room in the instant reaction show. I threatened to punch Ben out in one of the instant reaction shows when we were talking about the wide receiver. So, you know, I think it's pretty obvious that was a problem. But yeah, Peyton can't exactly come out and say, yeah, my wide receivers are shit and we've got no hope of doing anything. But I mean, you know, we lost Michael Thomas through injury. Emmanuel Sanders was let go. Now, I know Jared Cook wasn't that popular, but you know, he could catch the ball and would have been our top receiver this year had we have kept him. Of that, there's no doubt. Kamara missed a big chunk. I think he missed 4 games, didn't he? Yeah, so, you know, that's our top 4 targets from last season all gone at different portions of the season.
And I think that his thing of saying he was okay with the wide receiver room was probably an outlook on the season where he didn't see the offense being our 5,000-yard offense, passing offense from the past. He knew we were going to run the ball. I think he probably had an idea of how good our defense could be. Knew that. And Jason, what you were saying a minute ago, I am 100% supportive of bringing Jameis back. And it's pretty cool to look into the offseason going that our worst case scenario is that Jameis comes back as our quarterback. And honestly, that might be our best case scenario too, because that's probably the scenario where we still have first and second and third round draft picks.
Yes.
Which, I mean, honestly, where Jameis might be our best case and our worst case scenario. And I'm would be thrilled to bring him back and hope we actually work out something that looks like maybe even a multi-year deal. So we know that that's kind of locked up for 2 or 3 or 4 seasons.
Was going to ask then, did you think it was just going to be like it was this time, a 1-year deal, prove probably. It, or will they tack on, you know?
I think it'll be a 1-year deal, but I would like the security of a 3-year deal.
Do you think any other team goes after him?
Yeah, if you go look at the teams that are going to be cutting their quarterbacks or looking for quarterbacks, there's possibly like 11 or 12 starting quarterback jobs that are truly up for competition. If 4 or 5 of those teams aren't calling Jameis, they're just stupid. And there's probably there's going to be somebody that's going to have the ability to pay him more than we will, or have the flexibility to give him a longer contract. I thought it was a really good sign that he was at this last game in Atlanta. Two big things that came out of that last day was him being at the game, and then after the game, Michael Thomas tweeting out #WhoDat. I think both of those were pretty huge of what the the two of them maybe being on the same team next year. Unfortunately, there should be competition for Jameis. I mean, again, I think this happens all the time with us as Saints fans in the preseason. We go, oh, we can't let that guy go, not get cut. He'll never make it to the practice squad. Somebody's going to pick him up because he's a star. And then we cut him 17 times and nobody picks him up. I mean, I guess I could be wrong, but I think there was just enough tape on Jameis where somebody's going to be really interested in him.
Yeah, I mean, you think of the teams that are potentially looking for a quarterback.
You put him on the Colts. You put him on the Colts with their running game and their defense. My Lord, they're us, but they have the ground running game that we don't have. Kamara's a great runner, but he's, you know, the passing there. Man, you put him on a team like that, they immediately, I mean, they almost, you know, were in competition to win the AFC for a lot of the season with Carson Wentz, who was still terrible.
Pittsburgh is another example like that as well.
Something like that. Man, you put him with Najee Harris, my goodness. Yeah, yeah, there's going to be some teams that, if they're smart, I think would be making Jameis an offer.
Does worry me a little bit. If some other team does and he goes there, then what do we do?
Yeah, we either have to get a free agent we're not going to be high enough in the draft to where we can get – I don't even know if there's that many good quarterbacks coming out.
Not a good QB yet.
And you have to look at the free agent pool, or you're starting Taysom again.
I think you've got to right now take Taysom out of the conversation, not because of the way he played.
Because of the injury.
Because we're talking about – he is having a surgery that's going to install hardware in his ankle, and then he's going to have a second surgery months from now that's going to remove the hardware. I mean, there's a real possibility he's not running in August or September, much less planting his foot and throwing and driving with it. So, I mean, there's a real possibility he's not running in August. So you're talking about
either trading or picking one up in free agency. I don't know. I'd have to look at the list of quarterbacks that are even going to be free agents.
Trade for Minshew.
A lot of people are talking that he might be somebody that Peyton's interested in.
They went to the same college, Jimmy G and Peyton.
I mean, I'm not sure I'd be comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo as my quarterback.
I am not a Garoppolo fan. I think he is the definition of mediocrity when it comes to an NFL quarterback. I think that is accepting. That is the opposite of what the culture and winning talent that we try to have here. I'm not a fan, obviously.
That we should judge somebody and label them based on their performance in like one game?
He's 32 years old now. I think he's had enough chances and been with some great defenses.
Is he really 32?
Jimmy G's 30. I like Jameis too, because like I actually like him as a teammate. I like him as a guy. I like him. Number one, he's great in press conferences. I think we've established that. Number two, he's also like just the, and I know it's not a big, like a lot of players would do it, but him showing up at the Atlanta game and them making a big deal about it. And I don't know. I believe him. He's again, it goes back to what we said from the very beginning, is he's genuine. He's authentic. I believe he puts a lot of thought into what he does and what he says and how he acts. And I just, this is not the crab legs Jameis anymore. This is an adult. This is a mature and responsible leader. And I want him in my locker room. I want him on my team. Plus he's kind of goofy. And I think that's awesome. Like, you know what I mean? Like just even the way he was walking on the sideline, he just walks like a goober. Like
he has a hurt knee, Jeff.
Guy that just talks the talk and says the right things. Like, I mean, I know there was some people kind of blaming him in the offseason of saying like that's all he could do was talk a big game. And I mean, he clearly showed this season that he's a leader and he's got a great attitude and the team follows him. And then he followed through on the field.
I mean, yeah. But I know there's a few fans who are like, they need to see him complete a whole season.
I mean, there's probably people like that.
Yeah. Who that's still not enough. They haven't seen.
I think there's no one on the show like that.
What?
Yeah. There's no one on this show like that. Let's put it that way.
I think we saw enough in the six games to make the decision that I would be very, very comfortable if he was quarterback next year.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and one thing I was saying, Jeff, I think there were two really good signs from Sunday is one, that Jameis was at the game being with the team where he definitely could have been anywhere else. And then right after the game finished, Michael Thomas tweeting out #WhoDat.
Yeah.
That's a really good sign from both of those players that maybe they're on the team playing together next year.
Yeah. But it'd be great if we can see some videos of him and Thomas playing a little pitch and catch this spring. Well, maybe not because Jameis's knee, but whatever. You mentioned, Wes, earlier about Dennis Allen, I think, and that it made me all, or Scott. I wanted to ask you about the rumors about Jeff Ireland possibly going somewhere. Do y'all, either one of you, I guess, believe that the Saints, say, like the defense or the team, is in trouble, or would the defense still be as good even if you retain the guys? But what if you have to bring in a new defensive coordinator who establishes a new defense? Do you lose a step that way? Or,
I mean, it depends on who they get. I mean, if you get someone that can come in and recognize, listen, this has been a successful formula and a successful defense, and doesn't try to reinvent the wheel and builds upon that success, then yeah, you'd be okay. But if you bring somebody in who's got an ego and wants to try to redo everything, then I think that's dumb. And I think Peyton's smart enough and Loomis are smart enough to bring someone in that can see that, look, this has been a successful defense. Yeah. And just
like a Rob Ryan or a Spagnuolo. They've got a history of good decisions.
Those didn't work. And that's why they're gone. They found somebody that can like make it work. And that's why they're building upon it.
They're batting 500 on defensive coordinators.
Two things that look like the Saints have been building towards the last couple of years is, one is Mickey Loomis going to be team president and Jeff Ireland taking over as the general manager. It maybe looks like that they're not ready for that move because Jeff Ireland's being requested to go do interviews, and I guess we're going to approve him.
The other one being requested is not the same thing as leaving.
Dennis Allen going away. They have been setting up Ryan Nielsen to take over this defense. They've called it. His title is assistant head coach. Now,
they prevented him from going to LSU.
Really big step up to defensive coordinator of an NFL team, but they specifically paid him that money, blocked the move to LSU, and gave him the title in order to set up for him to take over for Dennis Allen when he leaves. There's no other reason. I mean, they didn't have him stay going, hey, you can be the coach when Sean Payton leaves. That was, what if nobody's even talking about that?
And what if, you know, just like Carmichael is a lot of your brains behind Sean Payton, right? A lot of that support behind Sean Payton, you give Carmichael as much credit as anybody else for the performance of the offense. What if this year, like, this was Ryan Nielsen's defense and Dennis Allen is just the figurehead? And so then if Dennis Allen leaves, then you still have Nielsen's defense. What if Nielsen was the guy who shut out the Bucks?
Insert George Carlin.
This guy's fucking stupid. Is that a tinfoil hat you have on, Jeff?
I'm just hoping it's wishful thinking.
I like the positivity, but there's just not. There's no way.
It's wishful thinking, man.
What I'm hoping is that Ryan Nielsen has paid attention to what Dennis Allen did this year, and then repeats it next year, and doesn't try to. Okay, now it's my turn. Like, no, like, please
do the same thing. Yeah. If Dennis Allen could just leave the playbook behind, right?
I think you also need to give a bit of credit to DB coach as well, Chris Richard.
With what he did with the Adebo and...
I mean, yeah, with P.J. Williams and Adebo, even C.J. Gardner-Johnson took another step this year. He was good last year as far as like being disruptive and like being a team leader and energy, but he had a few coverage problems. This year, his coverage was way better than even the year before.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I mean, Lattimore is someone who's had the potential to be one of the best cornerbacks in the game, but has never been consistent. I mean, really, this was by far his most consistent year, at least since his rookie year, but probably even better than that year.
He didn't get the picks, but he had the most pass deflections this year, 19, I think.
22 interceptions and pass deflections to pass defense combination. It's him and another player tied for most of the
year.
Yeah.
See?
All right. All right, I'm going to move us along in the interest of time. We're going to check in on our bold predictions that we made. These were bold predictions, sure to go wrong. We made these before week one started. And our preseason extravaganza, we'll see which ones we got right and wrong. First one, Ben predicted that Juwan Johnson would score more touchdowns than Kyle Pitts this season.
I can't believe this one.
I'm pretty sure you might have called him stupid when he said that.
I probably did. I call Ben a lot of things a lot of the time, but you know.
This time you have to call him right.
Yeah, no. Fair play. I mean, yeah. It's just obviously four touchdowns to one. Joanne Johnson,
three. Yeah?
Kyle
Johnson
Pitts,
only had three.
Was it three? Well, yeah. And but Kyle Pitts had 1,000 more yards.
Joanne Johnson, red zone threat. James, you have predicted that the Falcons would win less than 5 games this year. You were wrong. They won 8. Scott, you predicted that Cam Jordan would lead the team in sacks, and he did with 11.5. It was touch and go for a moment, and then he got COVID. Davenport was second with 7.5, by the way. Jason, you predicted that Jameis
Winston... got 8.5.
I did look at the numbers kind of like the next day after the game, it might not have updated. Jason, you predicted that Jameis Winston would lead the league in passing yards. Not only did he not... due to a technicality, but he was not on track to do so.
No, he was not. That was a wasted $40 I spent at the bow on that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's because of the taking the over episode really convinced us. All right. I predicted Sean Payton will get coach of the year. That jury's still out. Wes, you predicted that 3 players would throw as many or more touchdowns than Taysom Hill. You were close. We got 2. Unless Hill counts.
Unfortunately, I got really close on that one. But yeah. Not the way I saw it going.
Yeah. So Jameis 14, Trevor 11, Taysom Hill threw 4. I even did check Kamara just to see if he threw any. Or Ian Book.
Right? Ian Book did throw one to the Dolphins. Does that count?
So, yeah. Ben predicted that Lattimore would lead the league in interceptions. He did not. He did have 3, though. Trevon Diggs in Dallas had 11. James, Kamara will have 20 touchdowns on the season, all from scrimmage. He missed that by 11. He had a total of 9. Ben said that
half of Trevon Diggs' interceptions were against Taysom Hill, weren't they? Then he put like 6 in that game.
Well, there was his touchdowns, I guess. Let's see. What did I say? Jay or Ben said that Crawley would get a pick 6 against Tom Brady. That never happened. Wes said the number 2 player in interceptions for the New Orleans Saints will be Richard Sherman.
Yeah. I think, feels can like we, so can long we ago. Say can we say the jury is still out on that one? Or
I believe Sherman might have been cut by the Bucks today.
Do you still want him? Ben, Tony Jones Jr. would get 5 touchdowns from scrimmage. He did not get any. James Michael Thomas would lead the team in receptions. It would have been a better one if you'd have just said Michael Thomas plays football.
Yeah. He led the team in splinters in his ass.
Not even. Was he even on the sidelines?
No, not really.
Scott said Jameis Winston will have a reception this year. Never happened. Jeff, what's that noise? All right. Jeff said that Taysom Hill would not fumble the football. We only did it once, though. All right. Jason, I had to mute you for the noise. All right. Ben says Scott will call for Taysom Hill to be quarterback before the end of the Patriots game. I don't believe he did.
Nope, I did not.
I know. Not on air.
Not Ben, in private either.
We'll have to ask your wife. Ben said that Taysom will be traded before the deadline. What was that about? Classic Ben. Jason says the Saints defense will lead the league in sacks. Jason, that didn't happen. But we were 8th with 46. Pittsburgh was 1st with 55. Wes said that Wesley said CJGJ gets suspended for 2 games. Did not happen. Oh, and we lost Jason. Ben said Will Lutz is cut before the end of the season. He wasn't cut, but he was put on IR, wasn't he?
James says, just meant he wouldn't play.
James, he doesn't get it. James said before Lutz returns, we'll have gone through 2 kickers.
That definitely
we got
true.
A winner. We got a winner. Jason said that our new punter will be all pro. And that might actually happen. Yeah.
It might happen. Should be.
Oh, Jason's back. Jason, we got 2 years where our new punter would be an all pro.
I mean, he was one of our MVPs this year.
He should be.
Yeah.
He should be, Oprah.
He might be.
Scott. Hey, just a quick breaking news. Blake Bortles just signed with the Saints for a futures contract.
Okay.
Okay, good. Joe Judge has just been fired by the Giants as well, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
That's a smart move.
Scott says Jameis Winston is at least number two in touchdowns.
He was on pace.
He was number two with the Saints.
Number one.
40 would have been the Saints. 40 touchdowns passing would have been third, I think. Jeff says Jameis will do the fleur de lis at least one season. That didn't happen. Wes said it won't happen next season either. Wesley, you said all five offensive linemen would play at least 16 games in the regular season.
How about no offensive linemen would
play 16 games?
Did you actually add the numbers up though? Like, did you double check?
Scott says that I would not draft Jameis Winston in our fantasy draft.
Did you?
I don't know. I did auto draft. Ben said someone would get lost in Nashville. So this is one we need to discuss because, I mean, like Gunn and Romero, I don't know if they got lost for a little while. Did he get lost?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
when he was trying to find us at the tailgate, he got lost.
He also got lost when he arrived, right? He couldn't find the
rock bottom.
Yeah. No, he went right to rock bottom. Y'all had left me and him and our wives hung out the rest of that night until we came and found y'all later.
And then that Saturday when him and Gunn disappeared all day,
they got lost in a bathroom throwing up.
Yeah, would that be considered lost? Yeah.
Just because they were together doesn't mean they weren't lost.
He definitely got lost going to the tailgate.
Okay, well then, Ben, you were correct. Someone got lost in Nashville. Jeff says the Saints would shut a team out this year.
Hey!
We got one. All right, there you go.
You did not expect it to be Tampa Bay, though, did you?
No. No, I did not. All right, although I should have. So here we go into our new segment, something we're going to start this year. It's our awards for the New Orleans Saints. Because it's the Dome Patrol podcast, we will call them the Domies. So our first Domey, everybody can kind of throw out your ideas and we'll make a vote and we'll pick who the winner is. So offensive player of the year.
Kamara.
Even after missing five games?
Kamara. Yes. Kamara. Our offense.
All right. I think it sounds unanimous. Defensive player of the year.
Marshawn.
That's a good one. What about Davenport?
Nope.
Not healthy Mario. Enough.
DeMario.
Or Cam.
Cam, defensive player of the fourth quarter of the season.
Fourth quarter, yeah, for sure.
I've probably got to go CJ Gardner-Johnson, though. He was just the leader he was in the way that he kept the team going and got the crowd into every game and all.
I could almost go with that because if you look at the games where he was out, you could see there wasn't as much fire in the defense.
Something was missing.
Well, does that qualify him for MVP then?
They played worse without him than they did with him.
He's a valuable player.
Yeah.
Where Lattimore could be like the actual defensive player because I feel like that's more of a performance based than an impact based.
The defense was a lot better when Davenport was in there.
That's a value. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Davenport with value because when he's Cam, everybody got better. Yeah. That's what you just said.
Sad, but you at least, I'm not saying he's the team MVP, but you can't have this conversation without saying Blake Gillikin's name. And that's sad. It's
special teams.
Well, we do have a special teams player.
I thought you were saying team MVP. No defense. MVP and then team MVP. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So you're also talking about
still on defense. MVP.
So I think CJ Gardner-Johnson and Marcus Williams are my two, and I would give it to CJ Gardner-Johnson because of his leadership and energy.
Marcus Williams.
A deep safety that you never hear his name is a damn good deep safety.
Heard it once from this week.
As he was doing the Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So,
we need to decide on this one then, don't we?
So we got you. So you get Kamara, offensive player, special teams player of the year would be Gillikin. Defensive player of the year would be.
I think we should do a Twitter poll.
I like the Marcus Williams.
I think defensive player maybe needs a Twitter poll.
All right, let's do it.
I didn't put Blake Gillikin for special teams player of the year.
Who did you have?
JT Gray. All Pro Bowl.
Made the Pro Bowl. Okay. I'm still going Gillikin. Me, Gillikin should have made it.
There's a game where he got two penalties on the same play. I think that JT got three penalties this year, which is a lot for a special teams player. And I agree, he's amazing, but the penalties kind of threw me out of it.
I can get on board the Blake Gillikin choice though.
All right. Now I only had MVP for the team, not like an offensive MVP. Yeah. So MVP for the team. CJ DJ? DeMario?
I put DeMario down.
Davenport? Kamara?
Kamara.
I'll go with Cam Jordan.
What about Maher? In the sense that it is an extremely valuable position that we learned how valuable it was because it cost us about four games this year.
So in that case, the most valuable player was Will Lutz.
Then Lutz.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I'm sorry. Most valuable position, not player.
Yeah.
Okay. So who's your MVP finalist then? Who's your winner?
Mine's Cam Jordan.
DeMario Davis.
We're talking about whole team?
Yeah.
Kamara.
All right. Sounds like a poll based
on expectations and all. Like, I did not have high expectations for Cam Jordan going into this year after last year. And plus, he hasn't been getting it for years because Breeze has been dominating the MVP. So it's kind of like a career award this year.
Okay. Jason, you got a...
I kind of put Davenport just because when he plays, there was a noticeable difference in our defensive line.
And even the disruption level, like it's not about the sacks so much.
It's not all about the stats. It's just what...
I mean, he did have his best season for sacks this year, didn't he? 7.5 is his highest in a season. Yeah. I'm just... Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Well,
we might need to Twitter poll that one.
We'll ask everybody. Yeah. All right. Who would you put as the most improved player of the year?
PJ Williams.
Okay. Didn't he have a decent year last year though? Too like.
Well, he was more of a safety this year, wasn't he?
I mean, why is it not Jameis Winston?
That's what I was going to say. It has to be Jameis.
I
didn't put Jameis because of the fact that he only played in six games through no fault of his own, granted. And I went with somebody that played for the whole year. That was the only reason I didn't put Jameis in.
Most improved. All right. Two good options.
If we're not going to give it to Jameis, then to me, it has to be Marquez Callaway. This is a nobody free agent receiver. His second year got 698 yards receiving.
Maybe that's not an improvement, but a surprise player of the year.
I have a different surprise player of the year.
Well, who do you got?
Adebo.
Same here.
As soon as we drafted Adebo, I was very happy about the draft, and I predicted that two or three years from now he would be an amazing number two cornerback. After sitting out, not playing football over a year and a half, had no way to believe that he would have done it this year. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen.
Adebo is my surprise player as well. Did not expect what we got this year.
Trevor Siemian was mine because I was very surprised that he had to play. Jason, you got a surprise player of the year?
Nope. Thank you.
All right.
I kind of agree with Adebo.
And we waited to record for him today,
right? Are we boring you?
Ruiz qualifies for surprise player of the year. Nobody.
Whoa! We're definitely doing a least valuable player or a donkey of the year.
Oh, I don't. We do have biggest disappointment.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's
a unanimous.
That's who I wrote down.
Yeah, 100% Ruiz.
I thought he would get the most likely to block a ghost.
Is that on there?
It needs to be.
Most likely to fall down.
All right. Rookie of the year. You going to give that to Adebo as well?
Adebo.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Most likely to see the medical tent.
Oh, God.
All of them. But if I had to choose.
Oh, Jesus. You need a carnival tent for that.
I mean, Davenport. I feel like he's always there's always something with him. I mean,
Ron Armstead. I
mean, Armstead and Davenport this year. I mean, it was tough. I don't even. That's not even a good award. Let's just
cancel. All right, in the opposite direction, the toughest SOB.
Who's it's tough? It's got to be Ty Montgomery for playing the week after having the bone sticking out of his finger. He did play the next week, didn't he? Does Taysom get any
consideration for playing with the mallet finger and just being a tough SOB?
Yeah, and playing with the plantar fascia for a couple of weeks.
Tough one. Like that, yeah, it is interesting. Like literally, think about, like the New Orleans, the Saints. Like, is there a lot of guys that you would describe as like that tough grit type player? Like again, you know, you think like Pittsburgh type player. Does that mean we're a little bit of a finesser type team?
We're not a finesse team.
I mean, Davis is a tough SOB.
Our defense is not finesse,
right? Right.
I mean, if you're going to go down that route, you could put Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in there as a tough, because he's not the biggest, is he? But he hits hard.
Yeah, and he's mentally tough.
Yeah.
All right. Most likely to get arrested this offseason.
CD Deuce.
He'll talk his way out of it, or he'll talk his way into it.
I'm hoping it's nobody, because we could do without anybody getting found with weed in their car or nearly shooting their nuts off, or you know, anything like that.
I think it's still got to be David Onyemata. I mean, I mean, most likely.
Well, he never got arrested.
Yeah. I know, but I'm sure he should have.
I think he did. I believe he did get arrested, right?
Not this offseason.
Not this offseason.
He did get in trouble for the having weed shipped to his house. So he's had a few things.
So then he's most likely to have a drug related incident. All right, Coach of the Year. Which of the Saints staff are you giving Coach of the Year? Dennis Allen? Is it Sean Payton?
If it's not Sean.
Do we not give it to Sean because he's the head coach?
So we can't give it to Sean. It has to be like a. It's not Sean. It's Dennis Allen.
It's got to be.
Yeah, has to be.
All right. Best win, Bucks game. Or this last week's game.
I mean, that Green Bay game.
Green Bay or Bucks.
The Packers, Bucks, and then that Falcons game, the last Falcons game, were all three, like, honestly, fun wins. I'd probably stick with Green Bay, though. That was a great way to start the season.
Going to New England was fun and winning there.
Hey, that is the one thing about the season overall. Yeah, we did make the playoffs. Man, we had some fun wins, some good fun wins this year. Sure.
There you go. Best play. That is a little harder because you got to try and remember all the plays, standout type plays.
Jameis's touchdown to, was it Juwan in the back of the end zone where he was falling down? Was that who he threw
against Green Bay. Yeah, that one.
That was the moment that Juwan would win the touchdown battle against Kyle Pitts.
In week one. Right. There's a few.
He never lost the lead.
No, PJ's interception of Brady in the game in the dome sealed the game. That one
was a big one. And then
CD Deuce's interception. Didn't CD Deuce have a big interception?
Yeah, he had one at the end that after it was basically over. But yeah, he actually ended it with one. Yeah,
Adebo's one-handed catch.
The Adebo one-handed catch like really sticks out in my head. I mean, I know it just happened, but that was a spectacular interception.
Yeah. There was a few deep bomb touchdowns too thrown this year that we hadn't seen in a couple of years because of Breeze's arm. It seemed like we rained a few. Like Jameis threw a few, Taysom threw a few. The deep touchdowns back.
At least Jameis's were thrown where they were supposed to go.
All right, and then lastly, who is most likely to be on another team next year?
Alexander.
Hopefully. Cesar Ruiz.
I think it might be Armstead.
Yeah, I think it could be Armstead.
I think it's Quan Alexander. I think that he played well enough this year that he's going to demand enough money that we're not going to be able to match him. I'm saying as a compliment to him, I see him on another team next year. I think somebody's just going to give him too much money. And we have three young linebackers that it takes one of them to replace him.
I have one that's guaranteed.
No.
Marhar, the kicker.
He's got to actually get onto the team.
Unless his groin is actually going to fall off in the offseason.
I think you're right, Jason. It might be Armstead because I think I think the fact that Ramczyk's new contract has it written in that he gets escalators for playing at left tackle told you everything you needed to know about what the team's plan was. The choices we've got this offseason are keep Armstead and lose Marcus Williams, or let Armstead walk and potentially re-sign Marcus Williams. I think I'd rather keep Williams than Armstead at this point.
Because like Jeff always says, you know, Armstead's going to miss 6 games a year at least.
He's
I don't know if those two things are
Armstead isn't the starter.
Do you see there's any way for us to keep both?
I would pay Armstead backup money, and I would list him as the fucking backup.
Yeah, but he's going to want.
He's unfortunate.
That's not the way it works.
I know.
He's also one that some team like the Bengals that has a whole bunch of cap room is going to pay him $20 million a year and go, my lord, if he has the first healthy season of his career, Joe Burrow is healthy. And like we will take care of, like somebody that has too much money and they have to spend the money somewhere will give it to him with the just take a flyer on like what if he stays healthy.
And of course, when he leaves the Saints, he's going to be healthy.
He's going to be healthy.
That's a given. He's going to be healthy. Yeah, Armstead's probably number one.
All right, that's all the awards. That's all the domies. We've checked in on our bold predictions. We've recapped the season. The only thing left for this episode is to go through pick'ems.
Like the rest, your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain. You can't take it. I'm in control.
And I can give you this week's results. Let's see.
I think I had a bad week.
Yes, you did. Me and Scott had the best week. We went 4-1. Wesley went 3-2. James went 2-3. Jason, you and Uncle Baby Billy went 1-4. Ben, I didn't get picks again this time. So now he's another 0-5. So
gone.
Done. He's done. That's 2 weeks. He's done.
Yeah.
Do we do 2 or 3 weeks?
2 weeks and you don't count. So he's pretty much out now. But I've just been giving him 0-5s anyway to keep it. And that way he can have a worse record and it'll look worse for him.
Which he probably would have gone 0-5 anyway. Let's just be honest.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Right. That's, yeah. So, all right. In the larger league, I am now tied with Allie Gibbs for first place with a 600 winning record. And Allie has not missed a week either. So this is a pure first place. It is 54-36 for each of us. Scott, you are 52-38 in third place, followed by Uncle Baby Billy, then Big Easy Gaijon, Paul Perrette, Chris Farmer, Tom Ensign, Wesley, Trevor Bruno, Sans Hobbs, James, you're 500, Carp is 500, and the loser's bracket, Jambalaya Brothers, Neil, Mr. Coach Klein, the Mailman, Jason, Ben, and Drummer.
Wild card weekend. We've got 6 games, including a game on Monday night. So I'm assuming we want to include this, right?
Yeah.
I think it's dumb as shit to put a playoff game on a Monday night because now those two teams are at such a disadvantage going into next week. It's the NFL
money, giving a shit out of the money.
So our first game on Saturday, the Las Vegas Raiders coming off a crazy, wild overtime win to get into the playoffs against the Chargers. They travel to Cincinnati to play a Bengals team that rested a lot of guys this week. They are looking for their first playoff win since, I believe, 1991, which is just crazy. It's crazy to think about. I mean, it's 30 years. They haven't won a playoff game. So
the Saints were like that.
Yes, we were. Yes,
up until 2000.
So you know, their fans are going to be excited. It's going to be a crazy, crazy atmosphere. It's in Cincinnati. Bengals are favored by 5.5.
Bengals.
Yeah, I think the Bengals are going to blow them out.
The Raiders did lose one of their good defensive linemen to a torn patella, I think, last week. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals as well.
Cincinnati, yep. And Scott, don't even say anything. We got you.
I'm still thinking about it.
No, we know. We know what you're doing.
Roll with Joey B, baby. All right, our next game, Saturday night, an AFC East clash. This will be the third matchup between these two teams who split the regular season. The Patriots at the Bills. The weather calls for an extremely cold forecast, possible snow. We saw that earlier this year in New England, where New England attempted 3 passes and won the game. But Buffalo has won a few games in a row to claim the division. New England's been kind of struggling a little bit. The Bills are favored by 4. I'll go first. I'm going to take the Bills.
I think it's going to be close. The Bills win, but the Patriots cover.
That's where I'm leaning, so I'll stick with that since Jason took the Bills.
Yeah,
the Bills.
This could be last second field goal.
Yeah, I think situation. I think the Bills are going to win, but I think the Pats are going to cover. So I'm taking the Pats.
I'm actually saving up all my wins for the playoffs. I'm gonna this crazy undefeated streak in the playoffs. To
you know, we don't get double points for the playoffs, right?
Maybe we should.
You'd like cooler if we did.
All right, I was waiting for that, Jason. And now we got our first game on Sunday. The Philadelphia Eagles. They lost to the Cowboys last week, but they rested a lot of guys. They traveled to Tampa to play a Bucs team. That should get a few guys back from injury. I know Fournette's probably going to be back. Mike Evans will probably be back, I'm assuming. But they do have turmoil with the whole Antonio Brown saga.
Is AB playing?
Yeah.
No? Okay.
And Tampa is favored by 8.5.
Wow, that's a big number.
Take the Eagles on the points.
I'm going to take the Eagles on the points as well.
I mean, I know that's a lot of points, but I got to take Tampa. Don't bet against Brady in the playoffs.
I'm with you, Scott. This is every year there's a big blowout in the playoffs, and I think this is going to be it.
Yep. Same here. Bucks.
All right. Our next game. This brings up memories of the late 80s, early 90s. The San Francisco 49ers at the Dallas Cowboys. So many games called with Madden and Summerall. Now San Francisco coming off that win this week. Fucking us again. And then Dallas coming off that big win against Philly last week. So which Dallas team will show up? It's in Dallas. Cowboys are only favored by 3.
Yeah, ooh, Dallas. I'm taking Dallas.
Dallas.
Jumping on that one. Jason, are you taking San Fran?
No. Fuck the 49ers. All right. Our Sunday night game. The Pittsburgh Steelers back on their way into the playoffs, but they're in. Roethlisberger extends his career, possibly. They travel to Kansas City, who's just been rolling.
what a way. Congratulations. You get to play another game, but it's against Kansas City.
Whatever the spread is, Kansas.
The spread is 12.5.
Kansas.
Oh. I am actually going to take Pittsburgh.
Oh, no, I'm taking Kansas City. I think this is going to be a really, really ugly game.
Yep. Kansas City.
I'm going to take Kansas City as well.
Is there a weather report? Is it supposed to be snowing or anything?
Not that I know of, but I don't know.
Gosh. Am I the sole Steeler right now?
So far.
Scott, you coming with me?
Yeah, I'm coming with you.
That game's going to be ugly.
And now our shitty playoff game of the week.
Here we go. Of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My cards are
being relegated to Monday night. The Arizona Cardinals against the Los Angeles Rams. The NFC West battle. I mean, the Rams just seem to be struggling. You know, they can't close out a game when they have the lead. This will be Kyler Murray's first playoff game. Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs.
They didn't make it last year?
So, yeah, Rams kind of stumbling in. You know, Stafford being Stafford again. It's in L.A. The Rams are favored by 4.
I'm taking the Rams. The Cardinals have lost 4 of their last 5 games, including one to the Rams.
Aren't they dealing with some injuries?
They lost to the Lions and Colts and Seahawks as well. But this
aren't they dealing with
– not. Of course, yes. And their receiving crew is going to be.
Yeah, terrible. They don't have DeAndre Hopkins.
So it's always fuck the Rams, but I'm taking the Rams for this one.
I am going to take the Cardinals.
I was thinking Cardinals until Jason said that, so I'm taking the Rams.
Right.
Even though I hate them. Fuck the Rams.
I'm going to take the Rams. They'll win by 7. All right, there's your picks.
There's your pickums. The Raiders at the Bengals. Bengals favored by 5.5. The Pats at the Bills. The Bills are favored by 4. The Eagles at the Bucks. Bucks are favored by 8.5. 49ers at the Cowboys. Cowboys favored by 3. Steelers at the Chiefs. Chiefs favored by a whopping 12.5. And then the Cardinals at the Rams. Rams favored by 4.
All right. Get your picks in, everybody, before the first kickoff on Saturday. This would normally be the time where we go into Saints preview, but there's nothing to preview. So I will ask you guys for any of your final thoughts.
It's golf season, baby. Woohoo!
Any good final thoughts?
Great season for the Saints. Glad we finished above 500. Obviously disappointed we didn't make the playoffs. Future looks bright. Go Tigers. Women's and men's basketball. Yeah. And gymnastics. It's gymnastics season, baby.
It's it was the ultimate what if season for the Saints. You know, what if Winston hadn't got hurt? Where would we be? You know, we've said it before, the future's bright. You know, next season we've got the opportunity to be really good again. So roll on September.
Yeah, this is going to be a better offseason than the last one, as far as more interesting. Last offseason we couldn't do much besides figure out which players we were cutting. We will be, I think there'll be some restructuring and not any big cuts, but we will be active in free agency. There will be some sort of answer again to the quarterback situation here, whether that's an excitement of re-signing Jameis, whether that's the excitement of trading for somebody, or whether that's the excitement of re-signing some other, you know, the free agents come in. This should be a fun, interesting, lots of stuff to talk about this offseason. Plus, I think we've got a lot of reason to be excited because most of our defense is staying together, and we can look to next year of actually having a pretty good base of a team to build upon and hopefully stay healthy.
All right. Don't forget, everybody who's listening, that don't ignore your subscription, because we do publish episodes year-round, Dome Patrol crew. We'll talk about the Saints. We'll talk about, yeah, we'll get into some MCU or Star Wars, Disney Plus, reality TV, like Survivor, movies, entertainment. We'll publish those as separate episodes so that if you're not into that kind of stuff, you can ignore those. This is the kind of show. That are the kind of podcast feed where you could subscribe to one feed to get multiple episodes, and each episode brings you something different.
Is the Dome Patrol podcast cheaper in the off season, Jeff, or is it the same price?
Yeah, we actually give you a 50% discount on your free subscription, since we're not talking Saints games. So we figure that you should pay less to hear us talk about other
smart,
shit.
Smart marketing.
But if Saints news does come up, we will absolutely cover it in the off season.
Well, yeah,
we
can charge you for it.
And we'll send you a bill.
And
we'll send you a bill.
don't forget, the peak highlight of the Dome Patrol year is the live draft party.
That's right. Mark your calendars now. The live draft party for the first round one of the draft, where we bring fans on the podcast impromptu. We bring you all in. It's crazy. It's fun.
We get very drunk.
Yes.
Jason yells at the whole organization.
No accountability.
And I'm ready to do it again.
Eat some good fish.
That's right. So we'll talk about that. Other shows that you might like on the Dome Patrol podcast feed include, I'm not going to mention the 2-point conversion instant reaction show, even though I just did. This is the Dome Patrol podcast. We have the BS and Beer Saints podcast with Dave Romero. We have the Pelican Plunge with Jason. We have the Premier League podcast with Ben and James. We have Taken the Over with Billy Gunn, the Tigers Ben, the Tigers Den with Scott. You can follow us on Twitter though for the Dome Patrol feeds. It's Dome Patrol PCast and Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on Facebook. That's where we do our live streams. And if you want to participate in game day chat or just kind of general chat with us at impromptu at random, you can DM us on Twitter and we'll give you an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. Yes, we are on Discord, and no, you do not have to pay extra. It is part of your free subscription to the Dome Patrol podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, there is always Dome Patrol podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Domey donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
When I sing, what you need. When the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. And when
when the sun refuses to shine, when the sun refuses to shine, Lord, how I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Lord, how I want to be there on that morning when the saints go marching in.
When the trumpet sounds his call, when the trumpet sounds his call, oh, how I want to be in that number when the trumpet sounds his call, when the saints go marching in, when the saints
Some say this world of trouble is the only world we'll ever see. But I'm waiting for that morning when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed, Lord, how I want to be there on that morning when the new world is revealed. Oh, when I sing,
when I sing,
marching in,
marching in,
when I sing. Oh, marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Lord, I want,
Lord, how I want
to be in that number,
be in that number
when the saints go marching in.